Hi, this is Paul Hughes from Blog of Holding, and you're listening to Morris's unofficial tabletop RPG talk.
This week, Morris, PJ, and Jessica bring you up to date with all the tabletop RPG news, including Dungeons & Dragons minis for the 1980s cartoon, Star Trek Picard actors in a D&D charity stream, Pathfinder Gallows Spire survivors released early, and more, plus a brand new sketch about questioning the gifts of the Fae. This week on Morris's unofficial tabletop RPG talk.
This week, the podcast is sponsored by the Imperial Bank of Botherton. If you have a mountain of gold coins looted from an unfortunately deceased goblin tribe, or a cache of valuable gems liberated from a sadly demised commune of bugbears, you'll find no better place to store it. The Imperial Bank of Botherton's vault is guarded by nuclear bear owls, and its adamantine doors are enchanted by the greatest mage in all the... Wait, I think there must be an error. I'm the greatest mage in all the world. Who is this pretender? Who? I demand to know!
All the tabletop role-playing news. We aim to amuse and we aim to enthuse. And Morris's unofficial tabletop RPG.
Hello, and welcome to Morris's unofficial tabletop RPG talk. I am Russ, a.k.a. Morris, or Morris, a.k.a. Russ. And with me this week is...
PJ Coffey from the Southampton Guild of Roleplayers. Russ, as ever, I am delighted to be here. And in a shocking and startling turn of events, we have the lady who is syndicated all over the UK, but especially localised to Hampshire. It's the one. It's the only.
It's me, Jessica from EM Publishing. And that intro was a result because just for the podcast, PJ was explaining how NPR radio works to us.
Yes, because we had never heard of it before.
I really don't know, but my best guess might be accurate. Honestly, who can say? Maybe
you. You are the most knowledgeable person on this podcast about it, I would say.
Far more interesting, Jess.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, just off the top of my head, I was just, you know, going about my day, and I was just kind of wondering, and it just popped into my head, and I just thought, I wonder, how does Jess organise her dice? It just popped into my head, how does Jess organise her dice? So I thought now would be a great opportunity to ask you, Jess, how do you organise your dice?
Jess doesn't have enough dice to need an organiser for. It's just got like a little bag, surely.
Thank you so much for asking Russ that unprompted question. No, I'm excited today for context. I showed Russ and PJ. I got a new system for organizing my dice. So I got this bag. It's a D20 bag, and inside it's got sections that organize this. I'll put the link in the show notes, but it's by Sugarcube Studios. But it's also like a little handbag. Ooh. And you can pull the sections out, and it's also a dice tray roller, and it's got little inserts in as well. So I'm just very pleased with it. I previously used one of those all rolled up things.
Dice
collection.
With the pens and the battle map.
Yeah. So I'm still going to keep that, but I'm going to use the section I used to use for my dice. I'm going to use for like accessories, like I've got inspiration tokens and things like that, and I'll use my pens and cards, but I'll use this separate thing for my dice. Mm. So yeah, and I organise them. I've actually very sadly done a video on my TikTok page
showing my dice
and my new
dice
system. Yes, no joke.
Right then, enough about dice. Let's do some news.
Okay, what news from the internet?
It's not a lot of news, but there's little bits of news. So we've got some news where the topic of miniatures and Dungeons & Dragons cartoons coincide at the same time. The Venn diagram of those two things coincides at the same time because the D&D Icons of the Realms 50th Anniversary Booster Set, which also includes Vecna and Strahd and things like that. It has 50 miniatures in it. And amongst those miniatures are Hank the Ranger. I know, I am wrong.
Oh, do you lie?
Uni the Unicorn. Okay. I lied. Yes, I lied. Uni the Unicorn, Sheila the Thief, and Bobby the Barbarian. Three of the characters from the 1980s Dungeons and Dragons cartoon. And the other three were apparently, and I think we did mention it at the time, but I've totally forgotten now and it's gone from my mind, but I'm fairly sure we did cover it at the time, were part of the Dragons of Stormwreck Isles set last year.
Oh.
And that had Hank the Ranger, Eric the Cavalier, and Diana the Acrobat in it.
Hmm. Nice.
So I guess if you want to get all six, you have to buy two sets. And they're not cheap because they're like 50 miniatures and they're like booster sets. So does that mean they're randomised? Booster sets are randomised, aren't they? Because it says includes 10 rare figures, including the cartoon characters. Does that mean they're randomised or not? I don't know.
No.
I don't know how that works.
Does it not say?
No, I don't know either.
Okay.
I am reading about the Dragons of Stormwreck Isle, which was in 2022. Reported
2 years ago. All right, yeah.
Was that round about? I think it was around about the same time as the Brazilian car rats.
Yeah, probably.
Article dated.
Dragons of Stormwreck Isle had like art of the D&D cartoon characters, didn't it?
Yeah.
Is it on the cover, in fact?
It looks like, yes. Yeah. I think an article you wrote says the artwork on Dragons of Stormwreck Isle looks like. They did say that the adventure is based on the 1980s Dungeons & Dragons cartoon, and you look at the cover art, it looks a bit like Hank the Ranger is there with his energy bow, Diane the Acrobat's leaping over the Dragon's lightning breath. Yeah, and the signature magic item of Eric looks there as well.
Hmm.
So, okay. But I think they were having a plan to... They're re-showing the original cartoon again, aren't they, on their online streaming channel?
Yes, their online streaming thing that nobody was able to find, that.
Yeah.
We failed to find it, didn't we? We tried. We tried really hard.
Maybe it's a regional thing. Maybe it's because we're not in the United States of the Americas.
Maybe. But we did try pretty hard to find it and watch it.
Yeah.
We failed. So, yeah.
But there we go.
Anyway.
But more 1980s stuff.
That is how you get the miniatures. 50th anniversary booster set coming from WizKids, D&D, Icons of the Realms, 50 miniatures in total, including Vecna and Strahd and other, well, Icons of the Realms, I guess. Although Strahd's not an icon of the realms, he's an icon of Ravenloft. And Vecna, is he an icon of the realms? I wouldn't say that either. Oh, I don't know.
I wouldn't call them an icon because I wouldn't want to glamorise their evil doings.
Well, I assume by realms they mean the Forgotten Realms, but maybe they just mean realms in general. I don't know.
Maybe they forgot.
Realms both forgotten and unforgotten. I don't know.
I think he's really more of like a malevolent entity without portfolio. Like, yeah, just turns up. Well, no, she's got portfolio. He's like, he's been like a god of evil or something. Or some sort of evil magic. I can't remember. You did explain that at length, and I'm afraid it just like went in one ear and out the other. Has tends to happen.
Okay. So, more news.
I have some news that's not really news.
Oh, okay.
If you want.
Some non-existent news. Go on.
Yeah. Some olds.
Well, it was in reference to, because we were talking about NPR just prior to recording, hence my glamorous introduction, inspiration. So Hasbro CEO Chris Cox was on an NPR show recently talking about the D&D open gaming license, Magic the Gathering stuff. It was on the Here and Now Anytime show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The summary, because Russ told us about it just beforehand, was that he didn't really say anything that hasn't already been said. That we didn't know about already. It's a summary. Because I think this is, it was for the more mainstream, you know, NPR is obviously more mainstream than specific industry news. So I imagine everything that's already been discussed has already been told in industry news channels beforehand. But yeah, he was talking about the layoffs and what happened with that. And it was all quite business speak. And he was talking about different growth rates in games and toys and different parts of the company. Because as we know, obviously, Magic the Gathering and Wizards are really still continue to do quite well, but the toys section isn't. So he was talking about that, talked about the OGL situation, which again was just holding the party line and the messages that we've continued to hear, which is what I would expect them to do. And they also talked about the overproduction of Magic the Gathering cards, which was hurting the brand, apparently.
So I don't know anything about that. I mean, it's just outside of my radar sphere.
I saw like a little bit about it because they're releasing a lot of sets quite quickly. They're maybe a bit worried that, I think it was Bank of America said that they were producing so many so fast they're at risk of killing the Golden Goose. Like, because part of the mystique and financial attractiveness of Magic cards is their rarity.
Yes.
So if you print an absolute ton, it basically always has an inflationary effect. And so they become less valuable overall.
Fair enough.
So I think he was repudiating that, saying, "Oh, actually, no, they changed their minds. They said we'd buy. It's still a buy." So.
Yeah. It's he was saying there's the reason for that is they're going for more casual play and increasing and having an increasingly diverse player base. Which is interesting because they said that for Magic the Gathering, 35% of their players are not male. So,
But that's 45% for D&D, so it's higher for D&D.
Yeah. And that makes sense to me as well, like having... Because I don't play Magic the Gathering now, but I did... Ooh, must have been about 10 years ago when I actually played them. Mm. And in the places I was playing, it was not 35% non-male players.
Yeah. Well, as a complete anecdote, and this is an utter anecdote, where the Southampton God of Role Players meets every week, the front room of that is all Magic the Gap people playing Magic the Gathering, I think. And whenever I walk in there, it does... I wouldn't say that that is 35% non-male. It feels a lot more, a lot more male to me as I walk through that bit. But it's an anecdote in one location, you know, that's not...
Yeah,
you
know. I mean, it's anecdotal, but I'm glad there is more diversity in Magic the Gathering because it is a fun game. It's so addictive, though. Like, if you get started, make sure you've got the time and funds to keep that habit going.
I mean, you touched on the, like you mentioned, the open game license and kind of reiterated that it didn't, that the whole sort of like saga didn't damage the brand at all. And that's kind of what they've said repeatedly over the last year, and they've said in some of those big Hasbro earnings calls and things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm inclined to, you know, probably believe that because I do think that, like, that those of us online who were quite vociferous about it, even though it sounded, even though it was noisy, I think probably, like, compared to the overall number of players worldwide who just don't follow that sort of news, probably was tiny. I imagine.
Yeah, I think we are just chronically online, so so that's in relation to TTRPG stuff, like that would be.
I do have a question. Why did they change their minds?
I think because you know what I think. I think
if they saw the online uplash,
I think there was there were two camps at the company. I mean, I don't know for sure. I think there were two camps in the company.
There's definitely more than one camp. It's not... I mean, it's a big corporation, so you're going to get some disagreements just from the sheer number of people involved.
But I think the other reason they changed their minds is they realised that they didn't have to completely reverse the OGL. They could just make it valueless, which is what they are very successfully proceeding to do. So, you know... You know, with that whole D&D Beyond online strategy and stuff like that, the OGL. It might be legally still valid, but on a practical level, it won't have the cachet. It won't have the, you know, it won't. It just, it's like it'll be much more important to be on D&D Beyond than it will be to use the OGL.
Yeah, that news non-news article that I was talking about was Chris Cox did an interview on the NPR podcast Here and Now Anytime, and that is online, so you can listen to that if you want. But if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you're not likely to get any new information from that that you don't already know.
Yes. Hey, Galu Spire Survivors, that Pathfinder video game, has been released.
Oh!
Ahead of when it was expected to be
released. I was
about
to say, I didn't think that was...
It wasn't going to be. It has just been released earlier than expected. It was going to be coming out April the 18th.
I was about to say, I thought it was mid-April. I had that down.
Yep. Oh, but it's come out a couple of weeks early.
Did you say Pathfinder Gallows Spire Survivors?
Gallows Spire Survivors.
Oh, yeah. I've been playing that today, in fact.
Oh, have you?
Oh, okay.
I didn't know it was out. I was expecting it in my mind. I was like, it's somewhere in the middle of the month. What's the
TPJ?
Well,
tell us about it then.
I have like a little email. Look, it's like £3.83, which is like $5. So at that point, I'm like, might as well, isn't it?
You know? Why not? Yeah, why not? On Steam, was it? Yeah.
I'm just going to go get it now.
Yeah.
But what do you think?
Well, I've put some time into it already today, so it's not terrible.
Okay.
I'm just a bit unsure how I feel about it. Essentially what it is, it's got like that Diablo-esque vibe to it, in that you're looking down at some people and they're running around the screen. You have a companion with you, you've got three characters that you can choose from, a fighter, a rogue, and a wizard. You choose one as your main, and one as your companion.
Okay.
And then you run around, like basically clicking on the screen where you want to go, and it's sort of got that gauntlet vibe, like there's a big old dungeon. Gauntlet being a very old game, from way back when.
I remember Gauntlet.
Yeah, but maybe there are people listening to this who do not remember Gauntlet, which is also a very interesting games to exist. but yeah, Gallows Spire Survivors. And what happens is you attack automatically, which I was a bit confused about. But what it is there's like a cooldown timer, And basically, I'm just literally using my left mouse button and moving it around. And there's like all these like pyrotechnics and like weapons flying out from the characters, wiping out absolutely massive increasing hordes of creatures and providing essence. And then you're going along like, going, I don't really know what's going on here. I guess I'll try and avoid being hit.
Okay. Are you enjoying it, though? That's the important thing.
I sort of am. It's quite. I'm not sure how much longevity it has, but it's sort of, it's a rogue light, is how it's described. So as you play through it, you don't like die. You clutch a medallion and that teleports you back to where you need to be. It's got like four areas, and the first one of which has six levels. So I don't know about the rest, but yeah, I was running around scooping up this essence stuff, because when you kill the monsters, sometimes they'll drop things. And I mean, I couldn't really tell you much about the monsters. They come in various sizes. They're mostly humanoid from what I've played so far. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of fun, and you can unlock more cards. I guess that's where the roguelite element comes in.
It's quite hectic, is it?
Yes, it's not too bad. There is a hyper mode, I did notice, where everything is faster.
Hyper mode?
I do not think I'll be playing on that, because that looks like...
Fair. So it doesn't like use Pathfinder rules at all? Or...
No, God, no.
It's just settings.
You know what? It is basically like, you know, try to tell me about setting. I'm like...
Right.
I don't think you... But this comes into the problem of like me versus everyone else in the fantasy writing genre, where I'm like, 4,000 years is a really long time.
Yeah.
It's quite long,
It's too long, right? You can't, and like 150 years of an undead tyranny is, I don't know, that's what, 7-8 generations? This is a long time, people. Like,
very long time.
Yeah,
I mean, like, even in my local area, even in like Southampton, I couldn't tell you what was going on here 4,000 years ago. I don't know, like.
No, not a lot.
You know.
I mean,
there would have been
2,000
here.
Years ago, like Scythians were a thing. A bit over that, but like you had people like Herodotus saying, huh, I'm living in a post-apocalyptic world, I'd best start writing down what Greeks and people around us have been up to.
Yeah, well, 4,000 years ago, it's 2000 BC, isn't it?
And so like people like Scythians, who most people were like, I've heard of Scythians, but don't know anything about. I've got a book on them, and I've been reading it, that's been very interesting. But for them, like stuff like Stonehenge is about 2,000 years away, so... Like, there's just so... Time is super deep. Sorry. It's so hard to convey, like, why I find 4,000 years so stupid about, like, you know, just pointing at, like, lots of stuff and saying, look, you can have rises and falls of entire empires of people that flourished, had entire cultures, which are now gone and lost forever in less than that space of time. You know, 1,000 years is wildly long. But anyway,
For us humans with our lifespan, maybe if you are like a being with a longer lifespan, that becomes less.
Yeah, if you were elves, for example, things might be a little different.
I mean, how long are elves supposed to live for in D&D?
I know I'm starving, and it's been at least 4,000 years since I had breakfast. Definitely feels like
really?
It.
Yeah. I mean, elves live for, what, I don't know, 700 years or something like that? So an elf alive today would have been around in about the 1300s. So...
Like, it depends on your elf as well. Like a Tolkien elf, they're immortal, aren't they?
Yeah, functionally. They can be killed, but like they're not going to die on their own.
Yeah, they all remember Sauron being around the first time and stuff.
Yeah. Well, put it this way, right? This is probably not the greatest podcast material, but in 1808, somebody built a castle in Southampton, and in 1818 it got torn down again. Okay. So, like, you know, and this was a castle that was in 1585. People say, yeah, it's pretty messed up. It's ruined and rubbish. Did you know that there was a castle in Southampton? It wasn't a small one either. It was bloody huge.
No, I don't think I did, because it's not here
anymore.
Wasn't
it, like, around Bitton Park, somewhere around there, or Bitton Manor or something? Somewhere in that area. I seem to recall remembering something about this, actually, looking over the Itchen.
You know, I don't even recall
something about it.
Past.
Yeah, it's just like, I've seen a picture.
No, I don't know either.
And it was amazing. I was like really surprised, because like, why would you tear this down? It looks amazing. It's so cool. But apparently it was up for like about 10 years. and they knocked it down again. Wild.
Well, there we go.
Yes, and that is
that's less than 200 years. So it's more thousands, 20 times that. Get out of here.
Gallus Pass Survivors, for that price, I'll get it.
Sorry. Mm. Gallus Pass Survivors is a way to teach you about Pathfinder lore, and it's fun.
Mm.
Okay.
It's right. Certainly worth £3.83.
For that price, I'm going to get it. Yeah.
I mean, you'll get your money's worth.
I've downloaded it just now.
Yeah.
As we've been discussing this, I've downloaded it last year.
It's a little
free. It is PC only.
I
can't play it then. I can't play it at all. Hey, so Lego. Let's talk Lego.
We recently talked about Lego.
We did talk about Lego. Yeah, we talked about the actual Lego set, last week or the week before or something, that has recently come out.
Yes.
But there is also a free adventure.
We did tease
called
this.
Red Dragon's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And you can hop on over to that there D&D Beyond place and download it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And it's like 20 pages PDF.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an adventure for 5th level characters, for 4 5th level characters. There are pre-gens in the bucket. You can download that. And it was made by Wizards, not by Lego, but it was like sort of in collaboration with...
Yeah.
To go along with the Lego set. And the idea is, as you play this adventure, you also build the Lego set at the same time.
That's fun.
So, As I understand it, that doesn't actually have any mechanical effect. It's just kind of like an immersion thing.
Yeah.
You build the Lego set at the same time as you play the adventure. And basically, you're looking for a dragon's egg in this forest, and there's a dungeon and stuff, and there's a tower and possibly a red dragon. That's basically it. There really isn't nothing else to say. It's a bit humour. It's a bit Lego-y. Do you know what I mean? That kind of, if you play the Lego board video games and stuff, it's a bit, you know, they talk about like hot, delicious hot wings and hot sauce and stuff. And you can feed a pair of mimics like hot wings and things. So, it's a bit that sort of themed.
Beer and pretzels game,
It's free. You can download it for now.
It looks, this is a really nice product tie-in, actually. I think it's a really nice... They've done a nice job of it. Like, it's fun. If you're going to buy it, it's a fun tie-in and it's themed and it's a nice bit of branding and marketing, I think.
Yeah. Mm. What's interesting is at the end of it, it's got rules for playing it without D&D.
What?
So,
What?
You can actually play it without playing D&D. So it's got this kind of like...
A different TTRPG or just playing with Lego?
Just without any role-playing game. It's got this like little set of sort of rules right at the end in the appendix. Very, very short. Let me grab them though. I've got it right in front of me here.
I thought for a second it was gonna have like and to convert it to any TTRPG system of your choice.
No,
I was like,
No. So without D&D rules, it's 2 pages.
Mm-hmm.
Without D&D rules, the following system can help you run the adventure without D&D rules. So basically, and then it goes, if you're not sure how to resolve a situation using the system out loud and below, hot wing it in italics. Joke about hot wing. It's very good. Yes. What they've got here is a very, 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 very simple rules light RPG system in 2 pages there.
Okay.
That you could use instead of D&D.
The Lego TTRPG.
I suppose I think Wizards designed it.
Mm.
And yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they've done that because I guess it is the D&D tie-in. I assumed it would be very brand specific.
Yeah. Mm. I like scanning through it here and I was wondering if it was like D&D light. It's not that. It's kind of like, it's got like magic items and things like that. Oh, see, the magic items, I don't think a part of the without D&D rules, but it says magic items are scattered throughout the adventure. You and your other players can invent effects for these items using the suggestions below to inspire you.
Mm.
So it's got a whole load of them. There's like, for example, an orb of dragonkind. There's about 20 or 30 of them. Orb of dragonkind. Like it says 3 times during the adventure, the orb can be used to teleport its holder to a safe location of the holder's choice within the confines of the built Lego set. So how much of the Lego set you've built so far. The also has the power to summon evil dragons.
Ooh.
I mean...
Nice.
So I guess the Lego set does have some mechanical effect in that you can do that.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's cool. That's a nice tie-in.
Yeah.
And I mean,
that is a thing that exists. That is a thing that exists.
I'm always tempted to go to the Lego store and just get like a whole pile of minifigs.
Mm.
And yeah, just get... I used to have some when I was younger. I don't know, it's like I didn't have the same time as I was role playing, but I'm just like, these are very cool, but it would lack range, I feel.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyway.
Yes. Moving on.
I'm running out of news now.
Well,
scraping barrels now.
Brave heroes, as a reward for saving the Fae Kingdom from the dread Tyrant Queen, we have decided to reward you with 3 blessings.
Oh, why, thank you, Your Majesty. We are but humble servants who sought no reward, wishing only to do what is right and true.
Oh, then you do not desire these blessings, 3. Oh, fine. Well, I'll just go and tell them, and we can not give you the 3 blessings.
No, Your Highness. What my friend meant to say was that we humbly accept your blessings, although we do not deserve them.
Look, if you don't deserve them, we don't just hand out immortal fey blessings willy-nilly, you know.
Your Eminence, pardon our lack of clarity. It's just our modesty, you see. We are overwhelmed by your generosity, and nothing would please us more than to receive your 3 immortal fey blessings.
Well, why didn't you just say so, mortals? You can never get a straight answer out of them.
Our humblest apologies, Your Grace.
Then this night, under the light of the Viridian moon, the midnight cuckoo sings its celestial song. The court of the Sylvan Vale bestows upon you its blessings, 3.
We are truly honoured, Your Excellency.
First, may your turnips always be of average size.
Sorry?
Second, may your carriage wheels always be circular.
If I may.
And finally, may your shoelaces always be of matching lengths.
Your Serenity, I mean, we don't mean to sound ungrateful, but...
But what, brave heroes? Speak your words bold and true.
It's just that we're expecting something a little more...
A little more useful, Your Luminescence.
A little more useful? What could be more useful than a circular carriage wheel?
It's just that carriage wheels are generally circular anyway, Your Etherealness.
And we're not really all that concerned by the size of our turnips, you see?
I see. Well, very well. Well, then we shall grant you some alternative blessings.
Thank you, Your Radiance.
Oh, we are most eternally grateful.
Brave heroes, may your toast never land butter side down.
I wonder if maybe just a smidgen more useful than that.
Well, may your mirror always reflect a passable likeness.
Again, and we don't want to sound ungrateful.
But we did save the Midnight Court from the Dread Tyrant Queen.
Oh, yes, I see. Very well. May your echoes always return.
It's more that we were... Expecting?
Pray tell, what was it that you were expecting, brave heroes? And we shall endeavour to oblige.
Well, Your Whimsicalness, something more along the lines of, may you never suffer the pains of disease.
Or may you find a true love with whom to live out your days.
Ah, yes, I see. Very well.
Thank you, Your Mystery.
How about this? May your cup safely hold your drinks without undue spillage.
That's still not what we meant.
Just something a little more...
A little more what?
Exciting.
Oh, exciting? Well, why didn't you say so?
I kind of thought we did.
For the brave heroes who saved the Midnight Court from the Dread Tyrant Queen, nothing is too grand.
You're too kind, Your Honour.
Then we grant upon thee this immortal blessing.
Yes?
Yes?
May your breath always be invisible.
But...
May your whispers remain unheard?
No, it's...
Oh, may your tea always be hot.
Again, that's...
May your blanket always cover your feet?
Look,
your transcendence. I don't think you're quite getting the message.
These so-called blessings, they're all completely useless.
We were hoping for long life, treasure,
fame and glory,
the adoration of crowds,
escape from the curses of old age,
eternal happiness
for those and for those we love,
not bleeding teacups which hold our brews, or average sized blinking turnips.
I mean, it's not too much to ask, you know, after having, you know, saved the midnight court from the dread tyrant queen.
So you do know that these blessings are amongst the most prestigious in our arsenal.
What? Round carriage wheels? Matching shoelaces?
Well, who doesn't want round carriage wheels and matching shoelaces?
That's not the point.
Well, what is the point then?
The point is that all of these things can be easily attained without saving the flipping midnight court from the dread tyrant queen.
And there were you saying you sought no reward.
Now we lied your pointlessness.
We're adventurers. Of course we did it for the reward.
Well, look, there's only one immortal fey blessing left, but it is one of such power, such magnificence, that it has only been granted to a mortal once in recorded history.
We'll take it.
Are you sure? It's quite exemplary. It might be a bit more exciting than you were hoping for.
Oh, don't you worry about us. We live for excitement.
Bring on the excitement.
Very well. But don't say I didn't warn you.
We consider ourselves forewarned. Bless us, your resplendence, with your greatest gift.
Well then, my friends, I grant you this.
Yes?
Yes.
May your shadow always fall in the sunlight.
I hate you.
Malak the Maleficent here. If, like me, you're enjoying this podcast, please consider subscribing on Patreon for exclusive bonus content every week and the warm, fuzzy feeling of knowing you are helping to keep the show going. Subscribe at patreon.com/Morris. There, I said it. Can you stop staring at me like that now? The things I do. All right. Don't forget, patreon.com/Morris. Can I go now?
Are either of you interested in trekking amongst the stars?
I have been interested in trekking amongst the stars in the past, well, and I'm sure I will be again.
Many actors who have featured on Star Trek, different generations, and things.
What do you mean actors on Star Trek?
Like players opposed to the characters in a role playing game.
But what Star Trek? There's no actors on Star Trek. It's all weird.
Okay, anyway. So those people are doing a charity live stream actual play. And I was like, oh, cool. Will they be playing Star Trek? No, they're playing Dungeons & Dragons. I know. It was like loads of people that are from the Star Trek cast are there. And I was like, how cool. They're clearly... And no, it is Dungeons & Dragons, which is fine. But yes.
Right. Who've they got?
Jonathan... Frakes?
Will Wheaton.
Jonathan Frakes?
Will Wheaton.
Yeah, Jonathan Frakes. That's Riker.
Will Wheaton.
Michelle Hurd. Deborah Ann Woll.
For sure.
Yeah.
Deborah Ann Woll.
She was in Star Trek? No, she's never been in Star Trek.
Is she not?
I mean...
No.
Oh, well, she's also there.
Oh, okay.
She's been in... Oh, no.
Well, maybe she has been, and I just totally missed it, but...
No, she hasn't. No, because I know her from True Blood and Daredevil.
Yeah, me too.
But many other cast members. So we have Riker, Wesley Crusher, and...
I haven't seen Star Trek. What's the charity?
Benefiting the Pavlov Foundation. I don't know what that is. Oh,
it's... Pediatric Cancer Research. There we go.
There we go. Fair enough. So, yeah, that's pretty a charity you can get behind. There's a link on the EN World article about it, so you can check out the charity to see more about it there. Lovely. It's Saturday, April 20th at 5pm Pacific, which is 8pm Eastern Time and 1am over in British Summertime in the UK. So if you're an insomniac. Mm-hmm. And it's on Mini Terrain Domain Twitch channel. That'll be live streaming there. So they're going to play... a D&D game called Legends of Eleonora.
Okay. It's a shame they're not playing Star Trek. But
I know, because I saw that and it was like, oh, Star Trek actors. And I was like, oh, I'd love it if they're playing the Star Trek RPG, because that's just...
It'd be cool if they're playing their own characters in Star Trek.
Oh, that... See,
that would be very cool.
See, there's an opportunity. But anyway,
they
but this
for
isn't...
Baldur's Gate 3.
They did Baldur's Gate 3 to do that. But,
would that be canon, though? If a bunch of Star Trek actors played their own characters in a broadcasted... Star Trek RPG, would that become canon?
They did it for Baldur's Gate 3. So they added some stuff into Baldur's Gate 3 and some of their after extra credit scenes inspired by stuff that happened in the actual play they did.
Okay.
Wild.
Like they adopted this little imp, they called it Bing Bong on the screen, and then in the game later they reference it.
Right.
So that was fun. It's like a very small, minor moment. It's not like integral to the game. It's just someone says, oh, I remember when we did this. And it was like, but yeah, so that's good fun. That's all the news I have on that. But there's like a charity live stream going on with some big actors, if you like your actual plays.
Okay, what else have we got? Or are we done with the news? Have you got any, Peter? You normally have some.
It's been pretty quiet. All the Kickstarters I know of have funded.
Mm-hmm.
The Fey Earth made its 10,000 euro goal, so good work, Neil.
It's really good.
I'm surprised, I'll be honest, because that was a big hill to climb, but he'd done it, so fair play to that.
Okay.
And of course, I hear a little Kickstarter, was it Plane Strider's Guide or something like that, has made over £100,000.
Well, so, US dollars.
Not pounds, dollars.
US dollars.
Yes.
Yeah, but still $100,000. That's worth shouting about. So good job there.
Thank you.
the reason I mentioned is because I was like, oh yeah, I wonder how that's doing. I clicked through. It's like back this project. I was like, but I want a book. I can't get a book to back it, so I backed it. So there you go. I helped contributing.
Thank you very much. The Plains Writers Journal ended just yesterday at the time of recording. So. The reason I'm a little bit tired as well is because I was up, it was 11pm British time when it ended, we immediately send out our PDFs, so I was up at that time sending everyone their PDFs, and then I hang around for about an hour just in case people have any issues with the link, so they can email me and be like, my link is set on fire.
You can't download it, and then you go, use this other link instead, this one isn't on fire.
So I hang around to do that, but I only had one message that was on fire, and I said, are you sure? It doesn't look to be, and they're like, oh no, you're right, it's fine. So
that happens most of the time.
It's tech.
Someone goes, the link doesn't work, and you go, are you sure? And they go, oh yes, it does.
Yeah. I mean, it's tech, so you know, things can go weird, but yeah, so I filled all that, so that was that done, which is very exciting. So now we're speaking to the printers to confirm the order, getting the backer kit ready. So if you did miss out, there will be a backer kit pledge manager coming out at the end of April. But yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you know, we talked about D&D Beyond and Kickstarter and Monsters of Drakenheim last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we wondered how it worked from their end.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Over on my site, Egg Embry did a little interview with them to find out.
Ooh.
So now we know. Yes.
Right,
so basically, what happened, at least in this case, Wizards of the Coast originally reached out to them for Grim Hollow and Dungeons of Drakenheim on D&D Beyond, which are, you know, already on there. So they kind of had a relationship working with the D&D Beyond people, the D&D Beyond team. And then when they had Monsters of Drakenheim Kickstarter in the works, planning, they asked Wizards of the Coast, said, hey, we're making Monsters of Drakenheim. Do you want to be involved? And Wizards responded, yes. So what happens is apparently they create all the assets. So they create the art for the tokens and they create the actual content. But then they pass it over to the D&D Beyond team. And then the D&D Beyond team does all the technical work and, like, programs it. Okay, like, physically programs it into the D&D Beyond system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how it works from the publisher's end of it.
Mm-hmm. And I assume there's like a code or something that they will give via backer kit to backers that...
I guess. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Very much who you know. Another thing I did want to briefly talk about is, because there's an article talking about it, I don't know if people are aware about it, but the RPG Creators Relief Fund.
Oh, yeah.
So there's an interview on EM World with more information and details, but this is pretty much a charity for helping game creators to create things. So it's kind of meant to be a relief fund for if you're an RPG creator, if you're a freelancer and you don't, RPG freelancers generally don't make a huge amount of money, but like it's for if you have a medical issue or there's like a weather disaster or something like that, there's a fund to kind of help people out. And so you can donate money to that to help out other people kind of in the industry. And I mean, there's obviously a bit more to it than that, but there's full details in the article. But I just think that was a really nice initiative, especially in places like the US, where if you have a medical emergency and you don't have medical insurance, that's a really big problem.
Yeah.
And also they do things like try and give information about ways to get people in the industry health insurance and things like that. So they do other things like that. And they're a resource for information as well. But yeah, so there's information on it there in the article in the EM World. And if you fancy donating, I'm sure that would be very helpful. But I like that there's things like this going on in the industry because I really like having cool people make games. But in order to do that, they need to do the reality. The realities of living and existing in the capitalist world that we live in. But yes, I wanted to highlight that, and if you have a look on the EM World website for more information on that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm afraid I have misled you all.
Oh, no.
I do have more information.
No.
That's something that's quite exciting.
I'm offended.
I am shocked and aghast that you've lied
shocked,
to my appalled. Face.
This pleases me. excellent. My work here is done, though. Oh, I should probably mention what it is that I have totally forgotten about.
Go on.
Yeah, it is a work which has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 authors.
Oh. All,
many of whom were on the original design team for Level Up Advanced 5th Edition. It's called Adventure Forth, Over 100 Knacks for the Core Classes.
Oh, so, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Is
that out now?
Yes, it is. I am looking at it on DriveThruRPG even as we speak. So
lovely.
Yeah. Perhaps you know a bit about it. I know Clark Peterson's been taking the lead on this and getting it.
I haven't seen the product itself. I didn't even know it was out.
Various things posted. Essentially, the idea is that, as our listeners will know from my endless bang yarn and promotion of this thing, which I very rarely benefit directly from, apart from just my sheer enthusiasm for it. Level Up provides support for the exploration pillar, and one of the ways it does that is for player classes. It has exploration knacks, which are like a generic term to describe all the different class-specific things where characters can engage with exploration and do exciting things.
Mm-hmm.
One of my particular favourites being there's a druid exploration knack, which is probably called something else because there are different names for it, where if you are in a form that can fly, and you're looking down, you're able to gain an advantage or something on memorizing the terrain, which I thought that was just like super cool. That just made me very happy. So if you like that sort of thing, I mean, you could probably just sprinkle it into a regular 5e game if you like. It's not going to make the characters overpowered, I assure you. But it might give you something interesting to look at. So that's a solid $10 that is being split in 11 ways.
Yeah, so what an exploration, for those that don't play for Level Up, what an exploration that is when we were designing the game, we wanted to make sure that the exploration pillar was supported.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did we have like the journey rules and all that sort of stuff for the exploration pillar, but we wanted to bake in exploration abilities into the classes themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So basically each class has a number of exploration themed abilities that they can choose from, which basically enables them to participate in the exploration pillar of the game without standing and having to stand there and watch the ranger.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all themed to that class. So it's not like they all suddenly become rangers, because that would defeat the point otherwise.
Okay,
they're all themed to the class. Yeah. So like the soldier's quite a good campaigner and can slog on through. And, different classes have different types of exploration knack. Yeah, it's basically what that is.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's on DriveThruRPG. I've just looked that up. Got that on there.
Yeah.
If you're struggling to find it, if you look under the level up system thing on DriveThruRPG, it's on there as newest product. So that'll be probably the easiest way on DriveThruRPG to find it, if you look under system.
Yeah. So it was April Fool's Day the other day.
A few days ago. It was.
Oh, it was at Monday. And one of the April Fool's things that happened, amongst the many April Fool's things that happened, was Paizo put out a fictional product. Well, it's not fictional now, but a product called The Gap, a 160-page source book, which would apparently bridge the two settings of Galarian, which is Pathfinder, and the Starfinder setting of Absalom Station.
Ooh, interesting.
But the April Fool's joke was, of course, it was blank. It was 160 blank pages.
Oh, okay.
And then the next day they said, April Fool's, you know. So, yeah, it says, for generations, all information from this mysterious period in Starfinder history, known as The Gap. Obviously the joke being there is no information. So, anyway, so, 160-page book, blank pages, which you could have presumably downloaded on the day. However, they've decided to actually produce this thing. So for $15 now, you can actually buy a hardcover source book, 160 pages, called The Gap. It's blank.
So is that a notebook then?
So basically it's a notebook. It's basically a notebook. A $15 pretty Starfinder themed notebook, but presented as a joke sort of thing. So
Fair enough.
You go. Anyway, that is the thing that's happened. They've got a limited stock of them. Not many. $15, 160 pages for a blank book.
I mean,
that's a thing. That is a thing that has happened.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go.
We didn't do an April Fool's thing at Ian.
No, I used to do them every year, but I kind of stopped a few years ago.
I feel because we're a news site and there's so much misinformation in news that I'm like, oh, it's just...
You see, my problem with April Fool's, I don't mind a good joke.
Yeah.
But the problem is when you just get loads and loads of sites that just post things that aren't true, but it's not funny. It's like, no, it's got to be a joke as well. Otherwise, if it's just not true, that's not an April Fool's prank. It's just a lie.
Yeah.
And that's not what it's about. It's got to be funny.
Yeah.
You
I
know,
think the thing
otherwise...
I find most objectionable is the week following when you just got all these people who didn't go online on April 1st and discover it and then post it around as if it was true.
The most upsetting thing is when they said Firefly TV show was going to be renewed, which happened
a few times. Not an April Fool's joke, though, is it? It's just a lie. It's not, why is that funny? It's just... It's going to be rude. Like, oh, no, it's not. It's like, okay, hilarious.
Their joy came from my tears, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just like, I think the word prank has gotten very misused.
Yeah.
Because there's YouTubers who do stuff like go around and slap people or something. So it's just a prank.
Well, that's a different thing.
That's not the prank.
Yeah.
A prank is where everyone's
That's a different thing,
yeah. People are confused. Then they understand what's going on. And then everyone laughs. Congratulations, you've done a prank.
April Fool's trick that we did one year was we said the Wizard of the Coast due to, I mean, it's obviously a joke as you read it, you know. So Wizard of the Coast, due to budget limitations, were changing the name of their flagship game, Dungeons & Dragons, to Dungeons or Dragons. And now you can play in a game with winged scaly fire-breathing serpents or massive underground complexes, but not both at the same time. And that was the joke. And it's like, it's obvious when you read it, it's a joke. And I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, that's silly. It's funny. Yeah.
But
honestly, the nature of reality has just gotten so comical. Like, if timing had been slightly different and someone had told me April 1st last year and I hadn't heard anything different. Oh, yeah. By the way, what was the Coast going to do? Is they're going to release, like, the entire game in the Creative Commons and include Strahd and put him in the public domain. I'd be like, nice one. Don't fool me, but I admire your moxie. But that's actually literally has happened. So,
yeah.
It's like The Onion. I really respect those people.
Yeah.
Because their job is satire, and that is so difficult now.
Yeah, because the world is so ridiculous. Yeah.
I think part of the problem with satire now, you have to get so surreal with it to make it actually...
Mm-hmm.
You can't...
Satirical.
Yeah.
As opposed to, this looks like it could have happened. Because at which point you're probably just doing actual fake news or active misinformation, or sometimes even disinformation, where you're not trying to, you just want to make people laugh. It's It's a thing. It's a thing.
Sorry. Yeah. Right. I think we're out. We're out of news. I think we're done.
I think that's all for this week in the news. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we're done then. I think that's it for this week. It's time to get out of here and have what they like to call a weekend.
Mm. Intriguing. Tell me more of this thing you Earthlings call weekends.
Well, for me, they're exactly the same as every other day. But for some reason...
You're in no position to tell whatsoever. You're just like, I just work all the time.
Yeah.
Traditionally, it is the 2 days a week you sit and play Baldur's Gate instead of working at
the computer. Yes. In the ancient traditions, yes.
But also this new Pathfinder game now as well, because I've just downloaded that.
Survivors.
Yeah.
Looks like it's likely to be happening.
Exactly.
It can be two-player. I believe it does local co-op. Ooh. This is going to be investigated.
Interesting. Fair enough. Well, have a look.
Right, shall we get out of here?
Yep.
Yes.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Apparently, I now have to read this to you. This is the official podcast of Morris's unofficial tabletop RPG news, which you can find at enworld.org. You can find show notes at morris.podbean.com or wherever you found the podcast. If you feel like they deserve it, you can support the show on Patreon. In return, you will receive exclusive bonus content. Just go to patreon.com/morris. If you're interested in his babbling nonsense, you can follow at Morris on the Twitter. Send your emails to morrispodcast@gmail.com. Not all of your emails, just the ones you want us to see. That's it. I'm bored now. You can go away. Shoo, off you go. Goodbye. Get out of here.
Oh, my dog is soaking wet. Why is my dog soaking wet?
Let you go investigate
I'm sure that's a euphemism for something.
Where have you been? It's not raining out, which means he's been in the pond, haven't you?
Bye.
Wonderful. All right, let's get out of here.